Father, make us the masters of ourselves that we might become the servants of others. Take our minds and think with them. Take our lips and speak with them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. It was the spring of my junior year in high school when my older sister suggested that I work in her place as a dental assistant during the coming summer. She was approaching her third trimester of her first pregnancy. The dentist was willing to give it a go. I was terrified. But to help my sister, I accepted the job. Dr. McClure was a tall, muscular, dignified, and gentle man. I was in awe of him and wanting to do so well at this job. Dr. McClure was highly professional in every detail and very exacting in his standards, not only for himself, but also for the two of us working for him. I was to be the chairside dental assistant, so I had many skills, materials, procedures, forms, and terminology to learn, and I had to learn it quickly. But I was 17, and I was so insecure and worried that I would make a mistake that in the first couple of weeks, I physically shook in fear most of the time. I didn't know it at the time, but my trembling was driving Dr. McClure crazy. One day, he invited me out into the hallway, placed his hands firmly on my shoulders, and with a sternness I had never heard from him, said, "Stop shaking." Well, I instantly became as limp as a wet noodle, and I just stood there a moment until I realized that now I was too afraid to shake. Well, things went very smoothly after that moment, and I grew to love that man. 3 months later, he, my parents, and I were at the dental school in Kansas City, meeting with the officials there to set me on a path for my bachelor's degree and a professional career in the dental field. I had never imagined that this would be my choice as a career. Dr. McClure saw something in me that I could not see in myself. He invited me to consider something that I was meant to do before I even knew that it existed. Following graduation from college, I found joy and satisfaction under the leadership of another wonderful doctor. I knew that this was what I was meant to do, to care for those with physical needs, in a place that cared deeply about the quality of their care while respecting their dignity. And then about a year later, I received a call from the dental school. The department chairperson asked, "Would you consider joining the faculty?" Well, I was stunned. This was never on my radar, ever. This was beyond my capabilities, I thought. But I accepted an invitation to a meeting to discuss the opportunity. As it turned out, once again, someone else saw something in me that I did not see in myself, and it changed my life. Without the invitations from my sister and from Barbara Lambert, the chairperson of the dental hygiene department, my life would have been very, very different. And unless Dr. McClure and Barbara had seen in me more than I can see in myself, my life would have been much more limited and narrow. Invitations and empowerment make an impactful difference in our lives. And invitation and empowerment are found in our scripture readings today. In Isaiah, God sees more in the prophet than just being a leader to the Hebrew people. God says to him, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to the tribes of Jacob. I will give you as a light to the nations that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth." As they say in baseball, Isaiah, you're going to the big show. When John's disciples asked Jesus where he was staying, he invited them to come and see. It was a simple invitation. There were no requirements imposed, no demands, no pressure. Simply an invitation that they could accept or decline. Andrew then invited his brother Simon, come and see for yourself. Come and see if you think we're right about this guy Jesus being the Messiah. Again, an invitation. And then when Jesus first sees Simon, he immediately finds a new name, a nickname for him. He calls him Cephas, the rock. And Jesus sees in Simon a man of strength and endurance, a rock. And as it turns out, Jesus sees more than that. This rock, Peter, with all his shortcomings, rough patches, and weightiness, will become the strong, solid foundation upon which Jesus continues and expands his ministry on earth. Now, I feel pretty sure Simon didn't see that coming. Invitations and empowerment. What might God want us to hear in these readings today? What might God be saying to us in our time? Well, you are here because someone or something invited you here. Perhaps your neighbor, coworker, or friend invited you to come and see, to come visit Holy Apostles. Or maybe a search of churches led you to the Holy Apostles website. Or maybe you saw an Apostles with Fire banner and ventured to taste our gumbo at the gumbo gala or our crawfish at the crawfish boil. Perhaps a beignet at the I Love Hoover Day was so delicious you just had to come and see the place where folks would dream up such a sweet idea. Whatever that something was, it was a gentle invitation to come and see. And if today is that day that you first visit Holy Apostles, welcome. We are so pleased that you have come to check us out. For the rest of you who have been here a while, something you experienced at your first visit has kept you coming back. So perhaps God is triggering our memory of those times to empower us for something new. Maybe it is too light a thing for us to be here only to receive the warmth and love of this community of faith. God may be saying that each one of us has so much more potential and that he has empowered us to become more. We are already beloved children of God because God loves all that he has made. So what else might God be seeing? When something good happens to us, we're usually so excited that we share it with everyone around us. It's a glorious awareness to learn that we, just as we are the beloved children of God. Why do we tend to keep this good news to ourselves? Why would we not want to let the world know that God loves them beyond measure? It was into a harsh, divided, militarily focused, oppressive world of the first century that Jesus sent his disciples out to share this good news of a loving God. And with faith and tenacity, these disciples shared the love, compassion, forgiveness, kindness, generosity, and friendship of this new community. These 12 apostles changed countless people's lives and changed the history of the world by following the teachings of Jesus and taking them out to the ordinary folks around them. We live in a harsh, divided, militarily focused oppressive world. We have also received God's abundant love, and it has led to abundance in our lives. At Holy Apostles, we have an abundance of love, friendship, resources, and hope. It is too light a thing for us to be comfortably snuggled, hidden away in this little community of faith on this little hill in Hoover, Alabama. It is too light a thing. It appears that our scriptures today may be calling us to consider becoming not just followers, but also disciples of Jesus as a light to the nations. We have been called and empowered to share the good news of a loving God. Just as John invited people he knew well to meet Jesus, and just as Andrew invited his brother that he knew well, we can invite those that we know around us, those who trust us as family, friends, and neighbors, to come and see what it looks like to know and accept God's love. Most people today are hurting, worried, fearful, skeptical, and despairing. The world longs to hear the good news and to experience it in a gentle, accepting community of love. Love offers itself gently. It does not apply pressure, guilt, or demands. Love invites and is willing to risk being rejected. God sees our potential and offers us an invitation to be his messengers. We have been empowered to offer invitations to the folks around us to come and see. God believes that we can be the ones that invite others into a loving relationship with him. The choice to accept or decline his invitation is ours. Amen.